That's what we need most. Psalm 118. And we'll read the first 9 verses. Thinking about worry. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Let's say it aloud together, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Amen. And we'll flip over to Matthew chapter 16, and starting at verse 25, I must have preached from this passage so many times. Well, it isn't going to stop today. Matthew 6, did I say 16? Good job Tom's awake. I'm not apparently, but never mind. Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus is speaking. Let us listen to him and take to heart these familiar words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. I think we could go home now, but we will continue. About your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Father God, we have taken these words into our minds by your Holy Spirit. Will you apply them to our hearts now, that we might leave this place possessing your peace that passes all understanding? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Nope, not those. Right. I have a blog. I have a blog on the RE Online website. That's actually the competitor to RE Quest. So there we are. I have a feet in both camps. And I had something to write about recently. 3 weeks ago now, I was at a funeral of a cousin of my wife, lovely Christian family. Their 12-year-old daughter, Francesca, had a bug. There are so many bugs around, you know, just another bug. Took her to the doctor. Doctor didn't do much. Got worse and worse. Took her to the hospital. And she died. 12 years old. She'd only been baptized 2 months before. Shining Christian, lovely girl, very, very bright, talk of Cambridge. Lovely girl. Funeral was incredible. Big Baptist church, middle of Derby. Hundreds of people there, it was packed. We sang all her favourite songs, which was hard. Joyful modern songs, you can imagine. I needed all three of my hankies that day, I tell you. You know, we worry that the worst will happen, don't we? Yeah? Well, I reckon I was looking at the worst that day. I don't think it gets worse than that, do you? I can't imagine it. Where was God? Pastor's wife talked, all kinds of people talked. It was a long service. She went to see the family, and Pastor asked afterwards when she got home, how did it go? She said, well, I cried for an hour. And Elsa, Francesca's mum, comforted me. I mean, sometimes there's nothing you can say. We know that Francesca's with the Lord in glory. We don't understand why, but we know. And there was a lot of talk about that. I was amazed how many Christians dropped everything to be with the family in that hospital at that moment. I was amazed at the love and support that the, not surprised, but impressed, the love and the support that the family knew. And what I wrote in my blog was this, after I described it, that Christians grieve and they struggle just like anybody else, because we aren't exempt from the worst happening. But we don't do it alone, that's the difference, do we? We do it with the physical company of the Christian church. That's why we need each other. And the Lord Jesus Christ is there, you know, when we need him most. I want to be honest this morning. I want to be really, really honest about worry. Because I don't think I'm the only person here that worries. It's something that touches all of us. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Psalm's honest, isn't it? Psalms are honest. Hard pressed. We know what it is to be hard pressed. We know what it is to cry to the Lord. I recently heard an ex-Mormon complaining on the radio about her faith. The reason why she left the Mormon church is that she felt a pressure to wear a permanent smile. You know, when stuff was falling apart in her life, it wasn't real. And before we get too smug as evangelical Christians, sometimes we can feel the same pressure too, can't we? Well, I want you to feel released from that pressure this morning. You don't have to wear a perma smile. My brothers and sisters, we have got to stop lying to each other. You know, you're greeted, and I love to be greeted, as you walk into church on a Sunday morning, and the greeter, from the best of intentions, may ask you, how are you? That is a risky question if you're going to be honest with each other, my friends, because it might not be fine. And my dear friends, if you haven't got the emotional energy and the time, most of all the time, to hear about an honest answer, you best not ask. Right? I want us to start being honest. I don't mean Eeyore. I mean honest. Today I'm feeling good, okay? So you can ask me today. I am blessed. But some days I don't feel it. And I might tell you why. And how helpful would it be for any preacher not to be honest from the pulpit, to wear a permanent smile, to live in a parallel universe where doubt and failings and struggles don't happen? How helpful would that kind of ministry be? We've got to be honest and tell it like it is. Because, my dear friends, you look at the scriptures and you look at the Psalms and they are honest. The disciples failed like everybody else. Now, what are you worried about right now? If you ask this question in an infant school, you'll get 100 answers, right? We aren't there right now because I ain't got the time. But I am asking you, what are you worried about right now? Because I'll be surprised if you haven't brought something to church with you this morning. Okay. You've got a piece of paper. I want you to treat it like a prayer, okay? Just write that thing you are worried about on the piece of paper. It might be a name. It might be a thing. Nobody's watching. Nobody's going to read this out. At the end of the service, I will take these little bits of paper home. I won't read them. I will pray over them, and then I will burn them. So this is completely confidential. Write that thing that you are worried about most. And treat it like a prayer. You're telling God as you write it, Lord, I am worried. I am worried about this. This person. This situation. This unresolved conflict. Might want to pray while you're doing it. The Lord is watching. He is here. Now, for some of you, there's something you're struggling with, and it does worry you, that you haven't dared to write for fear of someone seeing. And the amazing thing is God can read invisible ink. So in your mind, you write that thing there. So you've got all of it. Now fold it up. No one's going to read it. It was like a prayer. You see, being honest is the first step. We've got to be honest. Sharing it with God, being open with God, is a great thing to do. How many times does a psalmist shout at God? You read the Psalms? Doesn't he? It's okay. Be honest. Tell it like it is. Sometimes we feel scared. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? The disciples said to Jesus. Why? They were in a boat. It was sinking. They knew it was sinking. They were fishermen. They were really scared of drowning. And in the middle of it all, Jesus seemed to be asleep, for crying out loud. Teacher, don't you care? You ever prayed like that? some situations have reached crisis point and nothing seems to be happening. And it may feel that way. Teacher, don't you care? And in that moment, despite the fact that Jesus was with them, the disciples felt very alone. And one of the great comforts for me is looking at those disciples, because I'm no different. They were very ordinary, weak, failing human beings, just like you and me. I thank God for that. When Jesus' disciples started out on that road of faith, they left good jobs, they left comfortable homes, they left family, they left every security that they had known to walk that uncertain road with Jesus those 3 years, and then the rest of their lives. Of course they were worried. Where are we going to sleep tonight? Who's going to pay the bills? What happens when my clothes wear out? That's what they were worried about, real stuff, same as you and me. That was the situation that Jesus talked into when he spoke the words that we have just read together. Scripture says anxiety weighs down the heart. Worry is a very destructive thing. I can remember a time, quite a few years ago now, when our circumstances were so difficult, worse than I could at that point remember. Actually, I can remember worse since, but let's not go there. At that time, seriously bad. Went on for months, and I couldn't help it. I worried and worried and worried, and I literally worried myself sick until I triggered off irritable bowel syndrome. The circumstances changed or got better. God sorted it out just like he always does. But the irritable bowel didn't go away, and it plagued me ever since. You see, worry is a pointless thing. It doesn't do anything good. Now, I know any parent, when it's coming up to GCSEs, would love their kids to start worrying sometimes about that fact. I understand that scenario, but that apart, worry doesn't do any good, does it? Does it? Jesus said it's not going to add a year to your life, it's not going to solve your problems, it's not going to do you any good. He doesn't want that for you and for me. Anxiety weighs down the heart. Jesus says, do not worry. Saying, what are we going to eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? The pagans run after all these things and your heavenly Father knows you need them as well. But he starts by saying, don't worry. God's got it covered. Don't worry. You can't see an answer to it. Don't worry. We sang a song at the beginning about how indescribably and amazingly great God is. Yes? Did you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you think that God who put the universe in the place, and our scientists still can't begin to understand the immensity of it, we're finding out stuff, although, well, they are, I know nothing, you know? The immensity of God's creation is staggering. A God who does all that, don't you think he can solve your little problem? However big it seems to you, it's not too big for him. But he tells you, don't worry. Don't worry. And then God talks about peace. Let's read these words out loud. We need them. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Don't we need that? The peace of God. I can remember when we went to Bible college 2 years at Moorlands, and those years without any visible means of financial support. We had a little capital from our house, which we'd was just enough to pay the college fees, but it meant we had nothing to live on. The church wasn't supporting us. There was nothing, you know, coming in. How were we going to live? It was this, you know, young family renting a house. What were we going to do? And that was when Sue and I went on a crash course of learning to live by faith, which is something we've needed to do in the 20, well, we're in our 28th year as counties evangelists now. And we needed that training. Well, what we can't do, God does. And he did. Didn't mean we didn't worry. Worried loads those 2 years. We had a great tutor called Jeff. In a previous life, he'd been a Baptist pastor, so he had the pastoral gift. And he would come round to our home from time to time, and we would pour it all out to him, you know, the latest struggles, the latest worries. We would tell Jeff all about it, and Jeff would listen, bless him, and then he would pray. And as he prayed, it was like Jesus showed up, you know? And Jeff would go, and we would feel miles better. Nothing had changed materially. He didn't leave a big fat check or anything like that. Would have been nice. But he did leave Jesus behind in that situation. And all the bills were paid, and all our needs were met, and we left college with no debts. And my friends, that's a great deal better deal than they get these days. So I want to ask, we had a Jeff. Who have you got right now? Who calls round when things are at their worst, when you don't know where to turn? Who can you pour it all out to and get the hanky out? You know? Because you need a Jeff. And if you ain't got one, I suggest you find one pretty quick. I am blessed with Jeffs, male and female. I am blessed by a number of wise counselors who I can and do phone, depending on the nature of the problem. That is why we're placed in fellowship. And I tell you, in our church, I know great love. Who's a Jeff for you? Because you need one. And if you ain't got one, you better find one. You're not meant to do it alone. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. What about that? I'm thinking of a wonderful young lady who was in our church some years ago now, Jackie. And she had breast cancer, and it was aggressive, it was horrible. And it called her home far too soon. And I can remember Jackie talking to me, even as she was dying, saying, I feel such peace. And I looked at Jackie and I envied her. Wouldn't you want that? And about you, I would want that more than a cure. To know the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I could see she wasn't spinning me a line. I could see it in her face. To know, when you need it most, the peace of God is a real possibility. We have a very new county's evangelist, Bev Bedford. And I've had a pleasure of her company recently, tagging around. Bev told me of when she had breast cancer herself, and she was going through the chemo and the treatment, and things were at their worst. And she knew the closeness of the Lord in a new way. And now she's cured, she's better, and things are fine. She says to me, I didn't want to lose that, walking with the Lord in on a new level, a new closeness, you know? And so I give every Wednesday to Jesus. And I look at her and she's busy. She is a busy lady. But she gives every Wednesday to Jesus. And I look at her and I think, I have got something to learn here. And I've started looking at my diary. And thinking of what that might look like. Peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Did he say he would solve every problem and take them all away? No. Sometimes we see miraculous answers to prayer and sometimes the worst does happen. The promise is the peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Think about it. I was talking with teachers in a teacher training just last week. Those are really evangelistic opportunities, you know. The teachers think they're there to learn about RE. Well, I do teach them about that. But there's some other things along the way. And I was saying to them, RE is all about the big questions in life. Where is meaning? Where is purpose? Where is fulfillment? What happens when I die? How do I cope when I suffer? How do I find meaning in life? And everybody has to find answers to these questions. And if you are an atheist or if you are an agnostic, you still have to find answers to these same questions. I said to these teachers, I am a Christian. I believe that I'm created by God. All of us are. I believe that my life finds fulfillment and purpose and meaning in relationship with God. I walk each day in relationship with God. And that is the answer for me. If you haven't got that, what have you got? I didn't put it quite like that, but that's what I meant. You've got to find an answer, you see. What is your answer? If it's not Jesus, well, you tell me a better one. I'm not sure I'll believe you. Because Jesus shows up when we need him the most. And we are told to do it one day at a time. Did you see these guys climb that mountain face? El Capitan in the Yosemite National Park in the States. Did you see? I mean, it looks impossible, doesn't it? It is impossible. I mean, come on. They had to sometimes leap for the next handhold. Would you have done that? I don't think so. How did they climb that sheer rock face? Without pitons and hammers and things to make the hand. How did they do it? I tell you, they did it one handhold and one foothold at a time. That's how they climbed it. Did they climb it in a day? It took them ages. One at a time. And however sheer your mountain may appear to you right now, that's the way to do it. One day at a time. That's what Jesus said. Don't worry about tomorrow. I've got it covered. That's what he meant. One day at a time. He says that's the only way you're going to cope. Everything you need for today, God gives. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's got it covered. The Lord is with me. Do not worry about tomorrow. Yes, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Do you ever talk to yourself? My wife gets worried about how much I talk to myself. I tell you, I do it all the time. But on a spiritual level, there are times when we need to. Let's say these words out loud together. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. When you are in one of those moments where you are panicking, when you are worrying, take a deep breath and say these words. Let's try it again. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Now, you may need to have to do that a few times, so let's try it again. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. And say it again. 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 But you may need another time. And you may need a few more. And eventually, the truth of it will start to dawn on your heart. You know it in your head. You need to experience it in your heart. If we are going to possess that peace that passes all understanding, it's all about trust, you see. It's all about trust. That rock, those rock climbers trusted those handholds, however tiny, they trusted their life, didn't they? And that is a perfect picture. You may feel your hand hold on Jesus is so small. I tell you, he's got a hold on you. And he will never let go. However you feel, he will never let go. So we do, end of the day, need to start trusting. And we say we do. And sometimes we do. But we need to renew that each day. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Are we pretending the troubles away? We are not. What we are doing is looking them square in the face. That's a different thing entirely, isn't it? And you see it in all its awfulness. And you give it to him. It says, cast it on him. Why? Because he cares for you. The journey of faith is where, step by step, we shift the focus of our trust from ourselves and our resources, and we shift the focus of our trust unto Almighty God, who has limitless resources and who never fails. Now, it's one thing to know it in your head. It's another thing to do it when the day dawns. I remember telling the story of the storm on the lake in schools, telling about when Peter looked away from Jesus to the storm, and he sank. And I go to a lot of schools, so I told that story 50 times. And every single time I told that story, the Lord Jesus Christ was tapping me on the shoulder saying, "Sunshine, are you listening?" Because that's the whole of it. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the waves. Look at Jesus. Because he is all you need. And with him you can walk on water. Ask Peter. Even Peter walked on water. I love that song, Oceans, don't you? Do you sing it here? No? Wow. Music group, get your head around it. It's tricky to play, but it's, I think it's probably my favourite song right now. Okay. Well, you'll find out perhaps. Why can we trust him? To my grandson, and some of you know the story of Josh and Dad and why they live with us, to my grandson, Josh, his dad, is the center of his world. And for good reason, I tell you, there is nothing that his dad wouldn't do for him. And he knows it. And my son, Philip, loves his son, Josh, without limit. We think he's pretty neat too. But, you know, there ain't nothing Josh can do that will stop Philip loving him. There ain't nothing Josh can do that will stop his dad loving him and thinking he is the most wonderful little boy in all the world. That is a small picture of why you can trust your Heavenly Father. That is the relationship that you are in. There is nothing that you can do that will stop him loving you. Isn't that amazing? And there's nothing he won't do for you. Sometimes a loving parent says no. And the child doesn't always understand. Is that true? Doesn't mean they don't love you. There's a bigger picture going on. We don't always see it at the time. Now, what I want for you now is to know the peace that passes all understanding. And I'm going to ask you to do a simple little thing. There's a couple of boxes here. Pass them around. It's kind of like communion, but with little bits of paper. And pop that little bit of paper in the box as it comes your way. And make it an act of faith. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And as that worry goes in the box and passes on, give it. You're giving it to God, right? You are casting it on him. It's a simple thing to do, isn't it? Then do it and mean it. You give God that worry that you brought to church this morning, and you leave here without it. And instead, exchange it for the peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray. Oh, Father God, eternal Lord. Sometimes stuff happens that we don't understand. But you are here, and you are worthy of all our trust, and our times are held fast in your hands, and those we love, you care about. And your love for us is greater than we can begin to understand, and your will is that we might live today without worry, but instead possess the peace that passes all understanding. May your peace fall without limit this morning. We ask in Jesus' name.